Welcome to another episode of Holla Chat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. Today we are in preparation for,
I don't know, a comeback that may come.
We don't know. We don't know if it's coming or not. We were just talking about, you know, is this for real or is it happening? What's going on? But in preparation for this next comeback, whenever it occurs, we thought that it would be fun, we hope,
to
discuss the lore, to do like a lore recap, a crash course in the lore for people who are new, for people who haven't cared up until this point, for people who, for whatever reason, just don't know what is even happening. This one's for you.
We have no qualifications in this area.
My qualification is that I have taken all of the diary pages and I have compiled them into a binder that I do affectionately refer to as my Bible. So that's my qualification. And I have read and annotated them.
I didn't even get my books to have them next to me. I'm going to be relying solely on Bobby. We used to, and we will again one day.
Someday.
Have Bible studies where we would study the lore book, and we got all the way through part one and part two?
No, we did part three. We were getting ready to start epilogue because we had watched Deja Vu.
That's
right. Eternal Sunshine. That was our last one.
I remember. So we've almost completed the Fever series, and I don't remember anything that we discussed, just like a normal Bible study, so... Again, my qualifications are at zero, but should we go through the series as they were released? Should we start with Treasure?
Well, Treasure is tricky because Treasure canonically happens after Fever.
Right.
So perhaps we should start with Fever?
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't much to say about Treasure. The thing that everybody needs to understand, just if you're going to be, if you want to figure out the lore, like if that is your goal, is to figure out what is going on in the lore, you need to know just right off the top that what happens in the music videos and what happens in the diaries are two completely separate things.
Right.
That there are some common elements, there are some parallel themes.
I think that's what you should focus on between the two is themes, which makes sense because music videos are a visual medium, but they're very short. So, and you're using a lot of like visual language, including colors and acting. So you can get a lot of themes, but as far as what is like happening story-wise, they're not doing a one-to-one. They're not even doing a, like, 1 to 10. Like, they're just not... Theme-wise, though, I think you can get a lot of the themes, which we've talked about in those Bible studies. I might link one.
If you link to the Notion page that we have, I do have all of them linked on Notion. So if you want to dig into our lore database on Notion, which is not finished, it is a work in progress. Have I made any progress on it lately? No, I have not, but it is in progress someday.
Well, we've been busy with a podcast.
Right. Yeah. We just keep adding on new and exciting things and don't ever finish anything.
But we're doing pretty good. We've got like 14 or 15 episodes of this podcast, so nailing it. Oh, we were going to talk about the new date of this podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah, we should.
And so before we do too deep into the lore, you'll notice this in our outro as well, which we will re-record. We are going to move the posting date of the podcast. It's currently being posted every Wednesday most of the time. And we're going to move it to Friday. So the podcast will now be posted on Friday mornings, starting with this episode. Starting next episode, because this is when we introduce it. So this one will still be posted on Wednesday. Next episode, it'll be Friday. Nailing it.
Yes, we're doing great. So just a heads up that that'll be changing in the future.
Okay, back to the lore.
So as far as the order in reality that the eras have been released, it starts with Treasure, and then they did Fever, and then they did The World, and now we are on Golden Hour. However, canonically, according to the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Writ, the diaries, the Fever series is a prequel to Treasure. So we're going to start with what happens in Fever. When Fever was released, Fever began in July of 2020. That was when they started, you know, I think it was released July 31st, 2020, I'm pretty sure. And began by dropping a diary film, which was just perhaps perhaps the most exciting thing to have ever happened to me personally.
I was not around for this.
Yeah, I was still fairly new. I was a new Aitani. I joined the fandom in December of 2019. So mm-hmm. I was here for Answer, and then I was here for quarantine times. Fever was, I guess Answer was really my first comeback, but Fever was the first comeback when I'd like had been in the fandom for a long time and had been looking into the lore. And so it was very exciting for me. Really set the bar really high to drop like a 15-minute film that I feel like they've never quite achieved with me ever again. I keep waiting for them to replicate that. But, you know, so if you are like, if you're like, okay, I want to get into the lore, my recommendation mm-hmm. is that the very first thing that you do is to watch the diary film.
Which is actually very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 15 minutes, but it's like 15 good minutes.
Yeah.
When I was trying to get my friends into ATs, I didn't start with music. I mm-hmm. started with the lore because that, like, my friends are very D&D, mm-hmm. book people, nerds, you know? Mm-hmm. So we watched the 15-minute diary film, and they were like, oh my god, this is so cool! Mm. Like, that was what got them. And Cassandra, when she won that in-person fan sign, she did tell Hongjoong that her first song was the diary film. Mm. And he was like, the what?
he's like, what are you talking about?
He eventually understood, but yeah, it wasn't like a, oh, the diary film. Mm. It was like a what? So if we get another diary film, perhaps it will be because of her. And her good works.
We can only hope. So that would be the first thing I would recommend, is watch the diary film, because that's going to give you a little visual taste of what is going to go down in the Fever series. Mm-hmm. Then you need to read the Fever Part 1 diaries,
which I think are very well written. Mm-hmm. So we talk about that a lot in our Bible studies. There are some translation things that aren't mm-hmm. don't make complete intuitive sense, but mm-hmm. I do think that on the whole, if you take them for what they are, they're also very thematic, mm-hmm. and they're just very good. So
and they're pretty short. Yeah, it will take you like 10 minutes mm-hmm. to read through, if even that, because they're very, very brief. We've talked about how the Golden Hour Part 1 diary kind of parallels the Fever Part 1 diary before. And what we mean by that mm-hmm. is that the Fever Part 1 diary shows us each of the boys once they are separated from each other. So we kind of get a little bit of the story of how they met and how they formed this dance crew and how mm-hmm. that was so important to all of them. Mm-hmm. But then we also start to see that fall apart because mm-hmm. they struggle. They're like, they've got like real life struggles that mm-hmm. they can't quite deal with. Yosong, for instance, feels that, you know, he comes from a rich family who have high expectations mm-hmm. for him. Lore Yosong, by the way. All of these are lore versions of themselves, so don't get confused. But
There are some parallels.
Like, it's clearly a lot of these things, I think, were inspired by real life events and their real life struggles, but I'm not going to say it's like one to one.
And also, you know, that happens in a lot of media, but when you're doing it in a book, you do amplify it. So mm-hmm. we do have Yosong, real Yosong, talking about how his parents put a lot of pressure on him, like mm-hmm. they wanted him to have like a certain career, but that doesn't mean that they were like from a rich family and they were like demanding he do mm-hmm. these. But you take what was real, that he had a lot of pressure from his family, mm-hmm. and you find ways to amplify that to make the theme stronger and the story stronger. So I do think that's what a lot of them are doing.
So Yosong's family in the story, they are rich. They have this warehouse that they mm-hmm. that they come, and that's like their little utopia space where mm-hmm. this is the place where they can be themselves. It appears that that is owned by Yosong's father.
Yes.
Because we learn later that Yosong's dad comes and kicks them out, and mm-hmm. Yosong believes that that is one of the reasons why the group splits up, because that space mm-hmm. gets taken away from them.
Mm-hmm. It's his fault, and he does blame himself.
He does.
Through most of the Fever series, which mm-hmm. affects a lot of his actions. That's what I would say about reading the diaries, more so than just getting the story, because we can just tell you the story. We can tell you what happens. But each boy boy in Fever has their own page.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into, like, how they feel,
mm-hmm.
which sets up their motivations for the later story. Yo-Song does feel like he is at fault.
Yeah.
He is the problem of the group. If the group hadn't met him, they would be better off.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects almost everything he does throughout mm-hmm. the rest of the Fever series, including Into the World, probably.
Yo-Song's arc really does kind of tie itself up in the Fever series, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and we haven't gotten into studying the World series.
That's true.
We haven't, because what we used to do is we would take it entry by entry and we would really pick it apart and mm-hmm. discuss, you know, what are the themes and what are the connections between all the entries. But with a Yo-Song, you know, this idea of him feeling guilty because of what his father had done and him kind of taking that on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And his response to that isn't to, like, at first he's like, well, I've got to leave the group because mm-hmm. they're better off without me.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they end up in Strickland, he's like, you know, actually my choice is to stay with them and do everything I can to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
That is his way of not absolving himself, but trying to make up for the fact that his dad that he feels like his dad was responsible for breaking up the group. But it's interesting because when you read other members' perspectives, they never blame him. And there are also other members who take the blame themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We know that one of the sort of inciting incidents that happens that causes the breakup is actually Mingi deciding that he's going to leave the group. And at first we don't mm-hmm. know why. He doesn't really mm-hmm. explain why he's leaving, except that he feels like he doesn't have the privilege of dreaming. He comes from a really poor family. It seems like mm-hmm. his parents are out of the picture and that he is solely responsible for taking care of his grandmother.
Yes, who is sick, right?
She is sick. At first I thought that she had died, because we learn later on that one of the reasons why he was going to leave the group was that his grandmother had collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to know if that meant that she had just passed out, if was she mm-hmm. in the hospital, or if it meant that she had died and he just mm-hmm. was overcome with grief from that. And then we know that Jong-o, who has joined the mm-hmm. group because he had injured himself and couldn't play basketball,
mm-hmm.
That was his original dream, was to play basketball, to go to the championship with his team. And the way that his team kind of leaves him behind when he mm-hmm. is injured and can no longer contribute, he becomes friends with, I think it says Woo Young specifically brings him in, or was that, I think it's Mingi who says Woo Young specifically
brings Mingi in. I do not remember who brings Jung-o in, but the thing that really stands out to me and that I always remember about Jung-o's entry is that it seems clear that rather than basketball being the thing that he loved, mm-hmm. it was that he had this group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like what he was looking for more than an activity or mm-hmm. a job is this community.
Right. It is Yuno that brings Jung-o into the group, which we do see that in Fever Road. We get to see that kind of illustrated. But when Mingi says that he's going to leave the group, Jung-o's when you watch the diary film, you'll see Jung-o go and punch him in the face. And uh-huh. this is why they get in a fight, because Jung-o sees Mingi as abandoning the families, so mm-hmm. to speak. And his response is to lash out in anger.
A lot of the lore teenies, a lot of the people interested in the lore, they really focus on the magical aspects, the fantasy. Mm-hmm. When you read the first diary from Fever, until the last page, there's nothing. There's no mm-hmm. fantasy. This is a YA coming of age tale. There mm-hmm. is no fantasy magics. It is just, this is how these boys feel in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get magic until the very last page, the outro.
Right.
And that's when we get the Cromer. In one of our podcast episodes, I did call it a time turner and mm-hmm. then stopped myself and confirmed that it was in fact called a time turner.
No.
Yeah. And I just want to say that I know that it's called a Cromer.
You were having a Harry Potter moment there.
I do know that that thing is called a Cromer.
So basically all of the part one is about establishing mm-hmm. how these boys, they got together and then they get mm-hmm. broken up and how each of them feels about mm-hmm. that breakup. They do all have different feelings. Some of them are still determined to carry on, you know, like mm-hmm. Will Young specifically and Songhwa are mm-hmm. determined to keep doing whatever it is that they need to do, mm-hmm. even without people, because they have their own motivations for being in the musical group. Mm-hmm. Songhwa's being that he saw a girl dancing and she seemed to feel free in a way that he had never felt. And so for mm-hmm. him, dancing and music kind of became that key to freedom. Mm-hmm. Woo Young had always just wanted to perform no matter mm-hmm. what. But he had suffered from stage fright, but he was able to get over that stage fright with his friends. But now that they mm-hmm. are gone, he's determined to keep trying no matter what.
Yeah, he takes the lessons that he learned mm-hmm. and he moves forward with them. That's the thing about Woo Young and Songhwa. They don't have a lot of place in the lore in Fever. Like, they mm-hmm. don't have a lot of story moments, because it does seem like their story arcs completed before the Fever series starts.
With Songhwa, I think that we learned that actually there's a little more to it, mm-hmm. especially once we get into the world. Not until the world.
So he does take a back seat in mm-hmm. Fever, as does Woo Young.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see who comes forward. And they do that, and I think that's right. Like, there are eight of them, so, you know, they mm-hmm. kind of, their importance comes in and out. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of gets the gang all back together in Golden mm-hmm. Hour, which is what's going to have to happen. Right, because...
Is an announcement of eight solo careers, it doesn't make any sense for them to just be living their own lives separately through mm-hmm. all of Golden Hour. All that to say that each of them have their different reasons mm-hmm. for getting together, and each of them have their different reasons for just splitting up and how they feel about that breakup.
Mm-hmm.
What happens at the end is Hong Joong, whose dream was to have his family. He has somehow lost his family and he wants to get them back.
His biological family.
And he's desperate to get them back, and his dream is to become a star, to make himself more visible for them to be able to find him, essentially. Mm-hmm. He is all alone in the warehouse after everything has gone down and the boys have all gone their separate ways, and he has a dream that a man who has his face and is wearing a hat and a mask comes up and gives him the chromer and tells him, I'm on that page. He says, so get rid of the idea that the world you see is everything. There are many dimensions and many realities in this world. The world I'm in, the world you are in, are all real. I want to tell you everything, but I don't have much time right now. And he says, follow your heart. The map is there. And when Hong Joon wakes up, he has the chromer
mm-hmm.
and he accidentally turns it, and it summons all of AT's into the warehouse. And we see that kind of play out in the film mm-hmm. and they are transported to another world, which turns out to be Strickland.
I believe there's a warehouse in Strickland, right? Like, they're transported mm-hmm. to a warehouse that mm-hmm. is the same warehouse in Strickland, so they don't realize immediately that they've gone somewhere new.
Right. Strickland is, like, just enough like the real world that mm-hmm. it seems familiar, but then there are things that are not correct, like things that are not where they're supposed to be, things that are slightly different. So it is kind of a mirror of the real world, but it's also just wrong.
Which is, you know, a good metaphor for what, like, Holities is to 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a mirror of them, but they're also different. They're not the same people. They don't have the same motivations.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual Holities member doesn't have the same motivations as each AT's member.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not the same people, even though they look the same.
So that brings us to Fever Part 2. In Fever Part 2, they get transported to Strickland. They get immediately attacked by the Android Guardians, who are in search of the Chromer. Hong Joong tricks them with a piece of glass, and they are able to get away. They run off into the woods. They have a brief moment of celebration. The Android mm-hmm. Guardians come back. They get a hold of Woo Young and injure his ankle, and they also steal the Chromer. The eight boys are rescued by two young children called the Grimes siblings.
Mm-hmm.
The girl, who looks like Moonlight specifically, she cannot speak, but they bring them into like a cave
mm-hmm.
and they heal Woo Young's ankle. It's hard to know if they just like treat it or if they have some sort of advanced healing technology mm-hmm. because we do learn that this is an advanced technological society.
I always think of that movie Elysium, where they mm-hmm. like have these like pods that they put them in, and heal them. And that's what I always picture, but there is no evidence of that.
No,
like, that's just what I picture. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons that AT's lore has so many fans, is because they give you just enough detail where you can build it in your head mm-hmm. in a way that doesn't necessarily contradict what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really, like, build up things in your head, and you can use a lot of imagination to complete a story. They've just given you kind of the barest bones of a story, and you can put all the meat on it yourself.
Yeah. So they get rescued by the Grimes siblings. They learn that the girl can't talk because her voice was taken from her. Mm-hmm. My theory on that is that it wasn't her actual ability to speak, but that they took her memory of her mm-hmm. ability to speak. But that's entirely unconfirmed. That's just the only way that that really made sense in my head.
Well,
but anyway.
Mm-hmm. The reason that's a good theory is because what we learn, I think through the Grimes boy,
mm-hmm.
maybe Songhwa's page is the one where we, like, get all this detail. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but one of them just goes into, like, this is what's happening in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that they are taking memories from people mm-hmm. and burning them for some sort of power. Mm-hmm. Like, they can remove emotions and remove memories. And we do have the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind reference mm-hmm. with the Eternal Sunshine song. I know that's not till part three.
But they're setting us up for it.
Right. Like, I think that leads into this idea that they're not necessarily taking emotions. They're taking memories that cause emotions, because mm-hmm. it is your memories that create your emotions. Like, I feel love, that emotion, because of my memories of this person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remove all of my memories of that person, I will no longer feel this love emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is why the removing her memories of how to speak makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense. So they have this society where they can remove memories and remove emotions.
Mm-hmm. Highly advanced, run by AI. The AI was able to run modules and mm-hmm. say and identify that it's the emotions that are causing all the problems in the world. But anyway, we get there later.
But isn't it interesting that when we talk about AI, we talk about how, like, the works that AI create are devoid of emotion?
Well, yeah, because that's the, you can't replicate emotions in a computer. Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
And so I do like that's one of the reasons I love AT's lore, is because it's really hitting on some themes that I personally believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll save my rant for the AI episode, but I will say that we had on Friday, we had a teacher work day and we had a faculty mm-hmm. meeting in the morning, and I went on a full rant to my table about AI, being the use of AI in schools,
mm-hmm.
Because some other teachers will use, they're like, yeah, I use AI to, like, write parent emails. I'm like, listen, if we say that AI is okay, if we say that, you know, we'll just need to work with it, I'm like, that undermines the entire foundation of what my class is built upon, that you can right. think for yourself and you can communicate those thoughts. That is my entire, that's everything. That's what I teach. Everything that I teach right. leads towards those are the two abilities that kids need to have when they leave my classroom. And I said, if we've decided that, no, actually, they don't need to think for themselves and they don't need to communicate for themselves, I'm like, why am I here? What am I doing? And they were like, they were very sweet. They were like, yeah, no, we understand. They're like, it's just easier for me to let AI write an email for me because it makes it sound better. And I was like, I will never let a computer speak for me. And I was really worked
like,
up.
This lady's crazy.
I was like, y'all, I am triggered right now. So, and they were like, yeah, and you should be teaching your kids that. And I'm like, but you're not
leaving
that. And we need to all be on the same page. And I'm like, so I had a whole, I was like, y'all gonna have, I'm gonna have to walk away because I can't.
Listen, this is being told to the complete wrong audience, but because everyone in this pod who listens to this probably agrees with me, but I think there is nothing sadder in the whole world than having thoughts and not being able to communicate them mm-hmm. with people.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own thoughts. And if you have to rely on AI to communicate those with other people, I think that is just, like, really heartbreaking.
Well, in my opinion, it's not that they can't. It's that they've been told that what they're doing isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Some teacher, some person somewhere along the way, or maybe it's even them themselves, like, looking mm-hmm. at what other people are saying and deciding, oh, I can't write like that. I can't speak right. like that. And my whole thing is, like, listen, your voice, the way that you speak, the way way that you communicate is valuable.
Right.
It's, and I don't want to turn all of you into, you know, little robots and we're all doing the exact same things and saying the exact same things.
That's the thing. If you're using AI and you're saying the exact same things as everyone else, then you are not communicating the thoughts that are in your head.
You don't have a voice. You're not using
and
your
voice. And that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad to me. I had a big sign in my classroom when I was a teacher that said your voice matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because like every single person has unique experiences, unique opinions, unique values. They are the product of everything that they've been through. A computer AI can never replicate that. And it is so sad to lose their thoughts and their voice because they are putting it into an AI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please don't do that to yourself. Please don't do that to the world. We're losing so much. And I've had people say like, oh yeah, I use AI for emails too. And I'm like, listen, you can use AI for scheduling. You can use AI to create your schedule, stuff that like is not your thoughts and opinions, right? Like, sure, have AI automate some stuff in your work environment. But like to send an email to someone that is supposed to be your thoughts and opinions and have a computer take that over, I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
I don't like it at all. Anyways, sorry, what were we talking about?
Yeah, I know. Okay, we'll save that for the AI episode. Okay, so back on track. So they get saved by the Grimes siblings. They learn that she's lost her voice. I believe it turns out both the Grimes siblings are part of an underground movement called the Black Pirates that was originally started by the Black Pirates, who are Holities. In the diaries, they are officially called the Men in Black Fedoras. And then we learn that they are called the Black Pirates. But the Black Pirates do not just refer to Holities. The Black Pirates refer to everybody who is part of this underground movement fighting against this AI anti-emotion regime.
Right.
So the Grimes siblings are part of that. They have not had their emotions removed, and that is why we learn that they are living out in the woods and they are not part of the society. The society is very advanced. The society is very like wealthy, but in order for you to be that, you have to have your emotions stripped and you have to follow along with whatever this new regime is telling you to do. Mm-hmm. And the Grimes siblings were like, no.
A very giver-esque vibe to this part of the lore. You see the community kind of just like following the rules. No one asks questions. They just do what they're told.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't know. They don't have the knowledge to understand. And that's the whole point, that there's only one person in the entire community that has the knowledge, the context to understand why what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
Everyone else, you know, specifically with spoilers, I guess, but if you haven't read The Giver now, I don't know what you're doing. Everyone in the community just thinks, you know, when you release a person, they don't think beyond, oh, they're just not part of the community anymore. Like, that's just it. For them, it's just over. But, you know, only the giver, who is the person who carries all of the context and the memories, knows that, you know, releasing someone is actually putting them to death. They are getting killed, but people in the community don't understand that. We see a scene later in the novel where Jonas is our main character. His dad is a caregiver of infants, and his dad kills a baby because it is a twin and because it weighs slightly less than the other twin.
Mm-hmm.
And having twins in the community would cause too many questions. It would be too difficult for the people to function because they would have to, it would break their system. So the smaller of two twins gets killed just because it doesn't fit within these very strict rules of the society. And his father has no concept that what he is doing is wrong. He doesn't have the context to understand that he's killing it. He's not releasing it. He's murdering a one-year-old baby. So, and that's the thing, is that not having that understanding. And I think that people in Strickland seem to have had that ability, that context stripped away from them so that they don't know that what is happening is wrong.
When we get to the World series, we do see more of like how the society functions and who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
But in Fever, we're just getting it through the Grimes telling us. That's how we understand how the society is working. And, you know, later on when we adopt the man in the dump whose name, Left Eye, Left Hand, Left Eye, Left Eye. Does he have a thing with his hand?
He is missing a hand, but we don't learn. That doesn't happen until the end of the Fever series.
Okay. Well, I was like, there is a thing with his hand though, right?
Yeah,
there's a thing
is.
With Left
there
Eye's hand. What struck me when you were talking is that like, we're talking about how important emotions are and how the society has, their emotions have been taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of all these conversations we've had about Aetes's performance and how, like, emotive it is. Like, the group itself is built on this idea that emotions are worth having. And I think society a lot of times says emotions are cringy. Emotions are not worth having.
I've been reading our Will It Aetes book of the month, Tress of the Emerald Sea. And I have two things that I've marked so far, and both of them are about emotions. On one page it says, it might seem that the person who can feel for others is doomed in life, yet I found that the people who are the happiest are the ones who learn best how to feel. It takes practice, you know, effort. And I was like, it does, Aetes, by the way.
I was thinking about, I think you wrote a Reddit post, or you were going to write a Reddit post about Aetes being sincere.
Oh, yeah.
And that just kind of, like, reminds me of all of this, like, the sincerity in their effort, in how they feel their emotions, how they let people see their emotions, in the emotions in the diary books themselves, like, going into how these boys feel. They're not robots. So there's a real sincerity to Aetes' lore, and I think we see that reflected in the stage. So, yeah, like, there's magic and dragons and whatever, but, like,
there are no dragons. Not yet.
Sorry, I don't know why I said dragons. there's magic and time travel, and I guess it's not really magic. It's more sci-fi.
We, you know, that there is a scientific explanation. We don't know what it is, but there's a scientific explanation in this world for how it works.
There's all this sci-fi trappings, but, like, the story is about being sincere, and I think that is the story of Aetes the group. So I think that's really lovely. It doesn't have anything to do with the lore, but it is a thing that, like, attracts me to it, that it's so, just the way that their lore itself represents who they are.
I think that a lot of people get caught up on the sci-fi in the lore, that's they just hit that surface level, and some of them are just like, oh, it's confusing, I can't understand it, it's cringy. But there's a lot of emotional truth that the lore shares with us if you just take a moment and think about it and stop being so obsessed with the spectacle of it all. If you really think about the story, at what at its heart it is trying to say, I think it's actually really relevant and meaningful. And it's sad that a lot of people just skip over that because they are convinced that, you know, K-pop is just fluff.
And it's really relevant for the things that are happening in our world, like, it's specifically relevant for us. I think it was, like, Ray Bradbury, but it could have been someone, maybe Neil Gaiman. I know those two are nowhere near each other, but a big fantasy or sci-fi author has talked about how when you write these stories in this type of fantastical setting, you can look at harder truths for the real world. If you were to write about these types of things in a non-magical setting, they would be too heavy to enjoy, and it would be too oppressive to connect with it, and you might, like, fight with the themes more because you're like, no, that's not what's happening in my life. But if you take it and you put it in this fantastical setting, you can get to those, like, bigger themes without having to, like, upset them,
right?
So, and I do think that's what Aetes' lore is doing. The themes are very real life relevant, even in their fantastical setting. And I've seen a lot of people complain about the loss of the fantastical setting in Golden Hour. And to me, it's like, I never cared about the fantasy element of it. Like, just as people get caught up with the sci-fi, like, oh, sci-fi is cringy, it's too complicated, blah, blah, blah. I think people get caught up in the, oh, but I want this fantasy magic element to the story, and they miss the story.
Yeah.
They're focused too much on this fun fantasy, this hero saves the day, instead of looking at, like, the real themes of the story. I don't know what we were talking about.
Well, we learn later that one of the reasons why the Grimes girl got her voice taken was because she was a singer, and so she would sing and she would remind people of feelings and what it felt like, which is much like what we know Holotes is doing, going around as a dance crew and performing for people and just reminding them, this is what it's like to feel emotions again. And so as punishment, her voice was taken from her. And they learn more about the world, and they learn that the android guardians have probably taken the Chromer to their hideout or to their base of operations, which is on an island that where there is like an old art gallery. So they have, which is, I think, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Meaningful or significant that they have taken this art gallery and turned it into like an anti-emotion. Symbolic. Yeah. So we come up with a plan. The plan is that they're going to split into two groups. One group
Did we say that art, like art is not allowed in this community?
Yeah.
Like,
they can't, well,
all
emotions.
Paintings
so,
have been taken down.
Yeah. Music, stories, they have mirrors covered now too. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to have a mirror because, you know, looking into a mirror is going to reveal truth to you. Mm-hmm. We also know, we find out later that they live in these like domes that are climate controlled. So again, another like giver reference. So everything is very tightly controlled and monitored and is very samey, the sameness, I guess. They have two plans. They're going to split into two groups. One group is going to, they've got to go to the Strickland dump because they know that this is, they've got two objectives here. One is they're going to find the Grime girl's voice and give it back to her as a thank you. This was apparently Wu Young's idea, and I love that. I think it's very charming that he's just picking up side quests. Like, listen, no, we got to take care of these people. So they're going to go into some sort of trash cave, and they are going to retrieve her voice and give it back to her. They also need to go find a character called Left Eye, who is an old man who has gone insane due to the death of his daughter, and they need his help because he knows how to get to the art gallery where the android guardians have taken the Chromer.
I have a lot of theories about Left Eye. I won't get into any of them, but I do have like just a host of theories.
We have talked about a lot of them. So again, if you go to our Notion, to our lore database, I've linked all of the Bible studies where she does get into some of her theories about Left Eye. So anyway, so they split into two groups. One group is led by Jongo. So the very important thing to take note of is that there is this yellow smoke. It is a byproduct of burning the memories. The yellow smoke. I've got theories about the yellow smoke that I won't get into, but one of the things that the yellow smoke does is it causes people to hallucinate.
Right.
Seems to force them to visualize the things that they most yearn for, the things they most want, or they like relive their worst memories, which makes sense when you consider that the smoke is caused by the burning of people's memories.
Right.
The dump is very heavily like infested with this yellow smoke. So team one is for some reason just Jongo. So it's just Jongo put with a gas mask, and they send him into the trash cave to go get the Grime
Girl's
voice.
I mean, they're like staying. There's like, there are four. It is a four and four split, but they
assume. Yeah. The only person that we know for sure is with Jongo is Yosong, but Yosong does not appear to have gone with him. So maybe like Yosong's got the rope and he's outside the cave.
That is my assumption. That at one point Jongo is sent forward and others are staying behind.
Yes.
Because maybe there's not enough room for more than one. It's hard to say what's happening.
I would assume that Wu Young is with this group since this was his idea to go get her voice. So I don't know. Who can say? We know for sure that Yosong is there. We know Jongo is there. And Wu Young is probably there. And if Wu Young is probably there, I would say maybe San is there too. I don't know. So Jongo is our forward member. He bravely goes into the cave, but the smoke gets to him in spite of his gas mask. There is a little bit of a plot hole here because we know that he's wearing a gas mask when he goes in, but somehow he's not wearing a gas mask when Yosong finds him.
Yeah.
So we're not really sure. We're not really sure what goes down there. We've got some theories. We have a whole discussion about that in our Bible study that is linked. I'm really pushing that Bible study. I want to see those Bible study numbers go up, but we'll see. Anyway, so he starts hallucinating the day that he hurt himself in the game, except he doesn't hurt himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's well, and he's able to, he's dreaming that he's going to be able to make that big shot and make the championship, and this is the only thing that matters to him, except it turns out that he is about to run right off a cliff.
Yep.
And that's the cliff, literal cliffhanger that the part two leaves us on. The other team is led by Yuno, and Yuno is approaching approaching Left Eye, who is hallucinating, and he is trying to pull him out of that like stupor that he's in. An important detail about Yuno that we didn't talk about is that part of Yuno's story is that he had a brother, and his brother was a musician. His brother reminds him a lot of Hong Jun and vice versa, and his brother had died. So he feels a kinship with mm-hmm. Left Eye because mm-hmm. he too has lost someone very important mm-hmm. to him and feels guilty about that. Mm-hmm. Left Eye has lost his daughter. That is the connection between the two. The Left Eye is hallucinating, and when Yuno tries to tell him, no, actually your daughter is dead, you need to snap out of it, he grabs a baseball bat and he is about to bash Yuno in the face. And that is where our part two diary ends.
You'll remember that part two, the part two fever, I don't know if you'll remember, but I'm going to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Celebrate is the sort of first preview that people got, I think, mm-hmm. for Fever Part 2. You got this idyllic world, everyone's in mm-hmm. these bright colors, and then you kind of like go in to, I think it's Hong Jung's eye, and it like bursts into flames. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of your preview for Fever Part 2.
They had dropped all of those Celebrate pictures though first, with the boys in the bright suits, with the, mm-hmm. the bright blue sky and the flowers. And it was funny because if you were in the fandom at the time, you know that people have been clamoring for a Wave Part 2. They've been clamoring for a Wave Part 2 that, and they gotta let that go. But then
they
don't,
they never, like, we had Eternal Sunshine and people weren't that into it. So,
people were like, oh, it's gonna be happy and cheerful. And this mm-hmm. was where all of our distrust comes from. Mm-hmm. The fact that we don't trust anything the AT shows us ever, because it's like, well, we don't know because we lived through Fever Part 2. So, but they opened with these really bright and cheerful mm-hmm. images. And then I think we got that little teaser video thing that you're talking about
mm-hmm. 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 with the flames. And I think that is a good representation of what we mean when we say that what happens in the music video matches with the themes, mm-hmm. but it is not a literal translation of what is happening in the diary, because in this diary they are going to the dump, they're mm-hmm. on this adventure, they're meeting Left Eye, the Grimes siblings are there, so they're in the woods for a while, they're running from the Android Guardians. All we see in Fireworks, the music video, are these kind of like visuals of like a rundown city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is what's represented in Fireworks, the music video. But you do have that kind of lore translation of, you have this happy, bright stuff that you get, mm-hmm. and then underneath it, it's actually really bad. So you've got mm-hmm. these, you know, Jung-ho thinks he's doing so great in this basketball game, but actually he's like in this trash cave and he's about to die.
Yeah.
So I think the Part 2, more than any of them, is like a good representation of what we mean when we say, like, it's the themes are there, mm-hmm. the ideas are there, but the story is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. When we open with Fever Part 3, they start by giving us more details about how all of this world came to be. We've learned mm-hmm. that there was a fourth industrial revolution with a lot of advances in science and technology. People start living to 200 years old. Mm-hmm. They go to school for 40 years, which mm-hmm. is crazy. They are learning not so much how to just be the person that they want to be, but they're learning how to be part of this world, how to be useful right. to this world. The central government decides that they are going to use AI to create this utopian society. And it specifically says, thereby making it possible to remove and take control of every unpredictable variable. That unpredictable variable are human emotions. Right. People are unpredictable when they are feeling some type of way. And so if we remove those feelings, then we can get people to always do what we want them to do. From this, so they had already created this utopian society, but like they were already, you know, living a really long time. They were already had all of these advances in technology. Mm-hmm. They realized that that wasn't going to work unless they removed the emotional aspect and had everybody mm-hmm. just do the things that they were supposed to do, like little worker bees, instead of just doing whatever they wanted to.
Is this the diary that talks about everyone was like looking down at their phones? That might even be the part one.
I think that comes later. Actually, okay. I don't know. I feel like that does happen later.
Because I just remember thinking that, like, you can look at this society mm-hmm. and see how it could be a society of our future. Because, like, the boys in Fever Part 1, when they're in the warehouse, they are very clearly in a world that is, like, our own.
Mm-hmm.
It is our world. And when they go to the Z world, there are parts where you're like, I can see how this could be our future.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we have a lot of, like, weird theories pop up about time travel mm-hmm. and, like, one-to-ones. Like, are Holities actually 80s from the future? Like, mm-hmm. you know, which we don't think they are, I think. But, that you know, sometimes we go back and forth.
That's my favorite theory. The one-tease theory is my favorite. And it is mm-hmm. the one that I feel makes the most sense and mm-hmm. answers the most questions. But it does mm-hmm. also create questions that are still unanswered. So it mm-hmm. is impossible to say.
So there's a lot, but there are a lot in the diary books that lend to the idea that Z is the future of A. Like, if mm-hmm. we stay on this path, if we keep everyone looking down at their cell phones and never interacting with the world, if we keep thinking that emotions are cringy and everyone mm-hmm. has to be the most productive worker bee, we will end up here. Z is a cautionary tale for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. Well, not true, but possible, I suppose.
Right.
So when we pick up in part 3, we get our cliffhangers get immediately resolved. Jungkook gets saved by Yosong, who wakes him up mm-hmm. and gives him a gas mask and saves him, and is also like, and also I found the Grimes girl's voice just while I was looking for you. And it's like, okay. So
yeah,
that's,
what was Jung-ho doing?
Like, who knows? Maybe like Jung-ho went one way and Yosong went the other way, and mm-hmm. Yosong found the voice, and then he mm-hmm. also went back to find Jung-ho. Or maybe Jung-ho didn't see it because he was hallucinating the whole time. Who can say?
Either way, those get resolved.
That immediately resolved. So don't worry about that anymore. We got it. So then we go over to Yuno and Team Left Eye. Mm-hmm. Yuno is able to break through to Left Eye. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get smashed in the face with a baseball bat.
Thank God.
Yeah. He tells Left Eye it wasn't your fault, and it's really interesting because it does feel like he's also talking to himself,
mm-hmm.
and that becomes significant later because mm-hmm. he is going to have to reckon with that feeling of guilt again later.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers. Foreshadowing, mm-hmm. I guess. So Left Eye, they get him, they take him out of the yellow smoke, and they are able to kind of get him to sober up. He has a boat, I guess.
So 80s in the lore has gotten on a boat.
They are on a boat. Don't know how big it is, but they are on a boat.
On the water, even. On it's the not water. A magic flying boat.
Yes. On a boat, traveling to this island. Mingi has a moment. This is one of my favorite Mingi. This is his sort of resolution of his arc. Well, it's not really mm-hmm. the resolution, but we get to see a little bit of character development with him
mm-hmm.
because he's been so grouchy this whole time. Mm-hmm. Every time you see him up to this point, he's complaining. He's like, oh, Woo-young is such a busybody. Like, why am I even here? Mm-hmm. And then this moment, he is watching, he's on the boat. It seems to be either it's a sunrise or sunset. The sky is colored like mm-hmm. oranges and reds. And he is watching everybody, all the other boys have like gone to go take a nap to get some rest. Mm-hmm. And he is on deck watching Left Eye and the Grimes siblings just enjoy life, like, because mm-hmm. they've all been rescued and they are singing and dancing. And someone says, dancing defines at least the smallest will to live. So people dance in the brim of hopelessness. And Mingi mm-hmm. says, that's right. I could have lived without realizing this. I could not see the present because it was disturbed by past misfortunes. And so he starts to realize that he was just letting his past color all of his view of the present and the future mm-hmm. instead of realizing that there could be hope and that things could be mm-hmm. better. And so we start to see him, his storyline begin to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that little character moment.
In case it wasn't clear, like we talked about how Hong Joong used the chromer at the mm-hmm. end of the first diary on accident. Like, all of these boys were far away. Mm-hmm. They were not together.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they are here in Strickland, like, none of them chose that.
Mm-mm.
So Mingi has really been like fighting those demons this whole time. Like, these boys were one, not together. Two, mm-hmm. not trying to come to Strickland.
Right.
So, like, they didn't want to be heroes. Here together.
Yeah, like, this was not their plan. So, they make their way over. So, they land on this island that used to be a resort, but now it's kind of empty and lifeless, which
I assume it's Jeju.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I have a post that I wrote on Reddit, and then I also cross-posted it on our blog about how the Fever Part 1 diaries follow the hero's journey.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be the part of the hero's journey when he goes to like the land of like the underworld where it's lifeless and dead. Mm-hmm. So this kind of mirrors that part where they land on this island that used to be the place with such life. And it's also, you kind of feel it represented in the music video Eternal Sunshine, because they are on this very bright, cheerful place, but there's no life. There are no other people anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it feels wrong. Like it just feels like something is not right here. Like it's too bright. It's too cheerful. It's too empty. Mm-hmm. There are no signs of life in this place where they go in Eternal Sunshine. So we land on the island. They are making their way to the gallery, which is where the Android Gardens have holed up and where they are processing the memories. And we get inside. San has a moment where he picks up some of the memories and he can see what the memories are. It doesn't ever say that the memories are like bead shaped. I think that we have made that assumption based on some of the visuals that we've seen. But San picks up the memories and he sees that they are all good memories. Like he says, it's a memory of confessing love to my lover, a memory of walking my dog on the beach, a memory of first trip with my friends. And he gets really angry that that they're stealing these good memories from people. And which for him, because his story is based on the fact that his parents have moved him around a lot. So he's never been able to stay in one place for long enough to be able to establish those good memories, you know, like with a group of friends that you've had for a really long time. He's constantly having to recreate new friends, which, you know, I know we talked about this with the Bible study, but that's something that resonates with me because I also moved around a lot when I was growing up. So for him, that would be just unthinkable of letting go of those good memories that you have with people, because for him, that's all he has is the memories. And then they realize that Yosong is missing. They start freaking out because they're like, we need to find the Cromer. We got to get out of here. They're trying to sneak around and not get caught by the guardians. Okay, so Yosong shows up. He's got the Cromer. He gives the Cromer to Hong Jung. They're celebrating for a moment, but then the guardians show up and they grab Yosong, and now they are proposing a trade. We'll give you Yosong, you give us the Cromer. So for Hong Jung, like, this is not a difficult thing. He's gonna take Yosong, of course, because Yosong is his person. And Yosong, this is where Yosong's arc comes into play, because Yosong says he wants to make sure that whatever happens, his friends are taken care of. So he makes the decision when Hong Jung throws the Cromer to the guardians in exchange for Yosong. Yosong intercepts the Cromer and breaks it. He sends the rest of them home somehow. It's really difficult to know how the Cromer actually works and, like, you know, what's going on. But by breaking it, he sends the rest of them home, but he gets captured by the guardians. They get home and they are obviously despairing. It's very poignant to me that in that last entry, after they get home, San just keeps counting the members over and over again.
I feel like I know all that he has.
Yeah, because if you've lived through any of the members' short hiatuses, Mingi was out for like 6 months, I think, or no longer than that. I was about 9 months. Jung-eun was out for a month. But anytime a member is missing and they come back, it's like when Mingi finally came back after his hiatus, I could not stop counting them in every single picture just to make sure it was still eight. And that was just like, when I got to that part, I was like, oh my goodness, I feel that. I feel that so badly. Like, oh my goodness. So San is counting them. He's like, Yosong's not here. Everybody is upset. So they're like, what do we do? And what? This is one of the biggest plot holes, in my opinion. This is the biggest plot hole.
I feel like between 3 and 4, we've got a lot of things that are like,
So what happens is the members, they are in the warehouse. So somehow they've gotten back to the warehouse. Like, that's where they went back to in the real world, in World A. And they are in the warehouse. They are despairing. They've just gotten back. They're not sure what to do. And all of a sudden, they hear a noise, and Yosong's drone. So Yosong is to play with drones. That's kind of how he got involved with the group, because they were like, you know, drones, come fix this. And then he just got sucked in that way. So they're like, oh, that's Yosong's drone. What? So this, honestly, this is where my One Piece theory comes from.
Right.
If you've seen Harry Potter 3, you've seen Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and you know that the way that it works in that, like, for instance, they go back in time and they need to save Buck Buckbeak, the hippogriff mm-hmm. that's going to be murdered because it was too violent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know that that it gets saved because, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, if you've seen it, you've seen it. If you don't, you have no idea what I'm talking about. There's nothing I can do to change that. But it's because they go back in time mm-hmm. and they are the ones that are causing things to happen that had right. happened in the first timeline.
Right.
So it all, like, is overlapping on top of one another. If you've read The right. Time Traveler's Wife, that's how it works in yes. that story as well. If you've read The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, I think it's The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, that's how it works in that as well. So in my opinion, in my theory was that the drone is flown by a Yosong from the future.
Right.
Because he knows that in order to give his friends hope, they need a sign that something mm-hmm. good, that he's still alive, and that it, in his mind, is the only way he can give them the hope without appearing himself, because if he appears himself, then he would break the timeline. Like, he would right. break everybody's brains, and you just can't do that.
I mean, it's as good as theory as any, because someone's got to be flying
somebody's piloting it, and we know for sure that Yosong is in, like, sort of a stupor in mm-hmm. a glass cage mm-hmm. in a gallery on mm-hmm. Strickland, and he doesn't mm-hmm. have access to a drone.
Right.
So... intern, explain.
There's a lot in this diary and the next diary that mm-hmm. I feel like are, huh? Mm-hmm. And then when we go back to the world, but I don't feel that way about the first and the second one. I feel like those are pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. We get the story in a pretty straightforward way. You can kind of like mesh it, the themes with the music video. So all's good there. And then when we get to the world series, same thing. Basically, all of the diaries are pretty straightforward. They tell a story about what happened. You can get the themes from the music videos. But it is 3 and 4 that I'm like, those are some real head scratchers. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure I understand how the things that played out in 3 and 4 played out. And I'm sure they do have some sort of reasoning. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe that will all be revealed, but...
I mean, honestly, it's not until the end of 3 that I'm like, wait, meh. Because everything up until the drone, right. I'm like, I'm tracking. I'm following. This makes
you're right.
sense.
Yes.
Like, I'm not getting every single little detail of why mm-hmm. Yosong leaves the group and he's mm-hmm. off by himself. I'm not getting every single detail of why, again, Yosong by himself goes and finds the voice and rescues Jong-o. Mm-hmm. This yeah. is part of my theory that this is part of his redemption arc in his right. own mind, that he is right. making up for the fact that he believes that it was his father and therefore mm-hmm. his fault that the group broke up in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so every choice that he is making is, I have to save them. It's not about me. It's about making mm-hmm. sure that they are okay. But you get to this part and it's like, huh, okay.
So Yosong has broken the chromer that Hong Jung mm-hmm. had. Mm-hmm. So the one Hong Jung had at the beginning, where he got that from is unknown. It seems like...
Well, it came through the dream.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It seems mm-hmm. like Holity's passed it through the dream. Mm-hmm. Who knows how that works?
It is a power that the chromer has on certain phases of the moon. Mm-hmm. That you can speak through dreams, and I assume that passing objects through dreams is part of that as well.
That seems like a different power, but okay. Like, speaking through dreams is one thing. Passing a physical object through a dream into a real world is a different thing, but okay. Whether, yeah. So
because you know, it's the... like, okay, how did you get, like, you used the chromer, you had to have the chromer in order mm-hmm. to be able to do that thing, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. if Hollajung had visited yeah. Hong Jung in his dream and then left the chromer, how did he get out of the dream?
Right.
How did he get home?
Right.
So uh-huh. I don't think anybody fully understands how the chromer works or what
hopefully
all its powers
the intern
are.
Does.
I am wondering if we started with one intern and that one intern got replaced with a different intern at some point. Mm,
it could be.
Probably right here at book 3, diary 3, there's a new intern and they're just like, I don't know. Let's make a drone. Let's make there be a drone. And it's like, why? Doesn't matter. It's like,
but
it does matter, though.
What we find out pretty quickly at the start of Fever Epilogue is that there is another chromer mm-hmm. that exists in a world. So we can assume that the one that Hong Jung used was from Z mm-hmm. and it was given to them. Mm-hmm. We know that Holities is caught in Z.
Yeah, I totally left that part out. I didn't right. explain that they meet Holit, like when they are looking for Yosong, mm-hmm. they find Holities. Mm-hmm. And this is another one of those, like, wait, wait, what moment? So maybe that's, this is the first wait, what moment. But they meet Hala Tease and they're in the glass cases, and Hongjoong and Hala Joon have like a moment where they press their hands together. Mm-hmm. And it is unclear if every member has met with his counterpart, except we know that Yosong isn't here at this time.
Right.
So.
And there is like this like passing of the torch moment that we talked about a lot, because like, don't they say that they were wearing Hala Tease's clothes?
Yeah, Hala Tease fades away and A-Tease looks down and they're wearing the black fedoras and the black outfits.
And I really tried to convince myself that that was a metaphorical wearing. But I think in the book it's written very literally, so there's more than just the drone in this book that is like, but anyways, I think a thing that we had kind of rationalized is that Hala Tease sacrificed themselves to give A-Tease the Chromer. Mm-hmm. So they had the Chromer in Z, which we know that they did have. That it's explained in one of the diaries that they were traveling around with the Chromer, because the Chromer can move your position. It moves you through space, so is it reasonable to assume that it can also move you through time and space? Yes. But anyways, it is moving them through space, and that is how they have been able to avoid capture. So they give it to A-Tease and thus allow themselves to be captured.
Right, because that was the only way that they were avoiding capture.
Right.
And one of the reasons why I have a One Tease theory is that why would they give up the one tool that they need to avoid being captured in order to bring this other group to Strickland, who don't know anything about what's going on? They don't have any special powers. They don't have any reason to want to help the people of Strickland. Like, it really was a gamble going and grabbing A-Tease and bringing them here, unless they already knew how it was going to go. They already knew that they were going to pick up the mantle and they were going to take over.
I'm glad we're really clarifying the lore for people.
At the beginning, it's really simple. You just need to read the diaries. And now we're like, I don't know, theories, time travel, who knows?
That is true for, like I said, Diary Book 1, Diary Book 2, really tracking along. I'm like, yep, got it. I understand everything. And then you get here to Diary Book 3 and you're like, huh.
It's like, wait, listen, if you take it at face value and you just accept, okay, this is just the thing that happens, and you don't try to figure out why it is the thing that happens, it's totally fine. You'll follow along with it, no problem. If you try to get into the, okay, wait, why? How?
Or did how? This happen? Right.
Then you're going to be lost in the weeds, and they are not going to explain it to you. They're just going to be like, listen, just accept it. Just accept it.
So what I was saying is, at the start of book 4, the diary for epilogue, we find out that there is a Chromer in the A universe that is in play. And we also find out about a cult.
Why shouldn't there be a cult?
Here's the thing about this cult. What they believe is very, very, very similar to what the people who eventually come to power in the Z universe believe. So you have this cult that...
It's called CN Salvar.
It kind of is... doesn't it sound a little bit like Scientology?
It does. It literally means...
Scientology has that like energy stuff too, so... What does it literally mean?
Is salvation through knowledge, basically.
Salvation through knowledge. And their whole thing is that your emotions can be energy. Is that their thing? They have like a specific thing.
They do have a specific thing. Steal the relic to save humanity before they face the world's end. I have theories about Henry Joe and his crew. Joe, don't you worry.
Henry Joe.
Henry Joe. H.J. Listen. It was later found the trio is a believer of the religion Cien Salvar. It is speculated that the trio committed the crime under the influence of Henry Joe, the religious leader. Cien Salvar is a new religion and was established in 1999, famously the year that most of A-Tease was born, by a scientist named Henry Joe. This religion believes that humans are the collection of energy, and human concerns from an uncertain future can be resolved by science.
Which is what happens in the Z universe.
Henry Joe frequently mentioned in the Mayan relic. The Mayan relic is the Chromer. So the Chromer is a Mayan relic. The amount of time that Rachel and I spent looking at the Mayan calendar and trying to make sense of how it works is absurd.
I mean, I read hours worth of Mayan calendar things for reasons.
Henry Jo also mentioned that the energy condensed inside of it will be the key to saving humanity. The Mayan relic Henry Jo mentioned is an hourglass artifact that imitates the moon's movement. There are many speculations for the exact purpose of the artifact among experts. However, one clear established theory is that the relic, crafted through an uncommon metallurgy technique, was used for ceremonial purposes. Of note, this Cromer is in a museum in a universe, and Henry Jo and his cronies have attempted to steal it, and they have not gotten it in this, in the, when this opens. They tried to get it, they didn't get it.
This is spoilers, but it turns out there's another Cromer in play as well, right?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because what? Well, I guess we'll get there when we get to Golden Hour.
Bobby scratches, rubs her brain.
Tries to rub the confusion away.
By the way, we haven't gotten a comeback announcement here on this Sunday.
What is
that? We do have that Golden Hour 1 retrospective, though.
So. Why? I don't... I guess that's, the date's wrong. I think the date is wrong. It had to have been a sting operation. Or like, when it got leaked, KQ was like, no, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. You don't get to. And what if they don't put their albums in Target? Because KQ is so mad at Target.
I mean, I wonder... I don't know how Target's system works.
Badly is how it works.
But I wonder if when they're creating a new product, it, you know, has like a certain amount, like an automatic thing that they just didn't update. Like it automatically releases 8 weeks from now, like when they put it in their system. And that is just the thing that you have to update. Like I know when I do Notion databases, there are like autofill categories.
All I know is that someone owes me an apology, and I don't know who that someone is, but they do exist for this, for the emotional distress.
Anyways, where were we? The second Cromer? The third Cromer?
We were discussing how many Cromers actually exist. I think we only know for sure of two. I do believe that the one that is mentioned in Golden Hour, like I feel like it was a little bit vague, the mention, and it was uncertain whether they were talking about the one that they find in AZ, in A universe, and they take to Z universe. If that's the one, because I don't currently remember.
And then they just like brought it back?
Like they're just carrying it around with them. I mean, how did they get home if they didn't bring it with them?
I guess that's true. But it is still in play. The Cromer's still in play.
There is still a Cromer.
Here's my suggestion. We have our first episode be the Fever recap.
That's what I was thinking. Let's just finish Fever and then we will pick up with World and Golden Hour next time.
We obviously have time before this comeback.
Yeah, clearly. Okay, so there is a second Cromer, an A universe Cromer. Okay, and y'all understand when we talk about A universe, we're talking about the original universe that ATs comes from. Z universe, the universe that we learn is controlled by a character named Z, is Strickland. So just get that straight in your brains. So the boys are watching the news and they see a news segment about this attempted robbery, and they learn of the existence of the second Cromer. Now, of note, when they go back home, they do go back in time.
Yes.
So the Cromer does travel through both space and time for sure, because when they go home, we've gone back in time because we are back before Yuno's brother has been killed.
Which is canonically before AT's ever met.
Yeah.
Because when Yuno meets the rest of, well, when he meets Hong Jung, his brother is already dead. This is before ATs had ever gotten together, but they are together now.
So it does make the timeline very confusing. So we already know that things are now different in A universe because they have gone back in time.
Yes.
So they come up with a plan. Hong Jun talks about, you know, if we think back, the broken Cromer I got in my dream was from the man with the black fedora. It means that Cromer was existing in their dimension. It would be possible there's another one in this dimension. They're going to get the Cromer, they're going to get Yosung, and they're going to put everything back the way that it was.
Except for Yunho.
Well, yeah, because Yunho decides that now that his brother is alive, he doesn't want to go around on adventures in alternate universes. He needs to take advantage of this time that he has with his brother. And he, obviously, he feels guilty about that, but he also felt really guilty about the death of his brother, and now he's got a second chance to keep him alive at whatever cost. And he also does know the day that his brother is going to die. So he's got to make sure that doesn't happen no matter what. There is a moment where Jong-o and Mingi are talking, and this is the only time we're going to see them kind of reconcile after their big fight in the very beginning. But they are talking, and Jong-o talks about how he is frustrated about this, and Mingi says that he respects the decision that Yuno has made, which is interesting coming from Mingi, because Mingi has been, you know, canonically the complainy, growly, upset one all the time. And now we see that after his moment on the boat, you know, because he hasn't, his lot in life is not better now. There isn't really a mention of how his grandmother is currently doing at this time. But this is where we learn why he left the group in the first place, was because of his concern from his grandmother. And I assume it was because he needed to work. He needed to make money to support her and take care of things. We do learn in the Golden Hour diary that she is still alive and she is in the hospital. And that is why Mingi has dropped his dreams of music and gone back to, basically he's gone back to where he was at the start, where he's like, I need a job. I need money so I can support my grandmother. So we learn here that that's why he left, that she had collapsed and he was really upset about that and didn't believe that he had the luxury of dreaming and being able to chase his dreams. And so that's why he left. Mingi says he told us he wanted to quit, saying our dreams are meaningless. Jong-o felt betrayed, and we learned that that's why Jong-o strikes out and why he, or lashes out. And he starts to, he says, obviously my heart was instantly flooded with regret. He says, it's too late to say this now, but I didn't want to give up at all. That's Mingi saying, you know, I didn't want to give up, but I felt like I had to. If only they had learned to communicate, but we're getting there now, you know. So Jong-o says, I was finally able to understand Mingi's perspective, and he starts to understand why Yuno is making this choice that he is making to choose family over chasing his dreams. And he says, after having a long discussion, we chose to respect Yuno's choice. No one, it says no one can force to decide, but I think that means no one, you can't be forced to make a certain choice.
Right.
So then we see Yuno is at home with his brother, and he's thinking about this plan that the rest of the members, the other six, are trying to pull off, and he's very nervous about it. He is following along. There's a news, they're on the news apparently, because Henry Jo on this exact same day has decided to break into the museum to also steal the Cromer. So Henry Jo is there, and the six members of ATs are there, and Yuno is home with his brother, and he's freaking out, and he's like, well, I gotta do something to save them, because we see that Henry Jo takes Woo Young hostage, because Woo Young was trying to sneak in with a bunch of schoolgirls or school children with a red blanket, and it's like a whole thing. And so Henry Jo, who is wearing a black like tech gear and goggles, I think that is a hilarious image and I love it so much, also has a scar under his, where do we learn where his scar is?
Isn't it like his left eye? Because I think there were some theories that it was left eye. Not my theories.
He has, no, he has a black mole on his right cheek. That's what it is. It's not a scar. So they find that Henry Jo is out, and they're like, oh, he's got the Cromer. So they got to go, instead of stealing it from the museum, now they've got to go steal it from Henry Jo. And he takes Woo Young hostage, and Yuno tells his brother, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part of the whole thing. It's so funny and so good and so like, wait, what? So Yuno has told his brother, stay here, stay put, do not leave the house no matter what. Yuno is going to leave. He's going to go save his friends. As it turns out, Yuno's in a biker gang.
Yeah. And this is the only place where you will see any overlap with the real, the music video, and this diary. It is when Yuno is also in a biker gang in the real.
This is also canonically the first time we see the name ATs, because it is on Yuno's license plate on his bike. ATs YH is his license plate, and I find that.
He's very cool.
Oh, no, it's a sticker. It's not a license plate. It's a sticker. So anyway, so you know when, you know, Woo Young is being held hostage, Hong Jing is freaking out because things are falling apart, and he, of course, has sort of become the leader just by default, doesn't know what to do, needs to keep everybody safe no matter what, isn't sure what needs to happen next. You know when his biker gang show up, and they just start, like, it says, at that moment, a group of bikers ran towards the museum with a loud exhaust sound. Six bikes began to circle the crowd of Cien Sylvar. The believers start to get nervous about the rider's unknown intention. Henry Jo shouted, but the motorcycles were too loud to hear anything. Then a familiar sticker caught my eye. ATs YH. It was Yuno. The other riders must be Yuno's friends. I intuitively knew Yuno's plans. This is Hong Jung, because Yuno has has kind of shown himself to be kind of the second in command throughout the story in different ways. Mm-hmm. They are the first two that we know join the group, for sure, based on, we put the order together. We got the first four are Hong Jun, Yuno, Wooyoung, and Songhwa. Mm-hmm. And when you watch the diary film, you will see that none of those characters are present when the fight breaks out. So I think they had left all the babies back in the warehouse. So Jong-o, Yo-song, Mingi, and San were the only ones in the warehouse when the fight broke out because the adults weren't there. So that's my theory.
Someone should have kept an eye on the babies.
I know. So they should have been there watching the babies. Where were they off dancing at Han River when they should have been watching the children? So Henry Jo runs away, scared of the biker gang, and they are able to get the Kromer and save Wooyoung. Unfortunately, Yuno's brother does not listen to Yuno. Mm-hmm. He does not stay home. He does leave home. He comes here. He ends up getting hit by a car. I think it is the car that Henry Jo is driving to get away from the crime scene.
It is, which is my big theory about why Henry Jo cannot be Hong Jun, because there are a lot of theories about Henry Jo being Hong Jun, even though I don't think Hong Jun has a mole.
He doesn't.
Some of the other ones have a mole, but...
Wooyoung does, but it's on his left cheek.
Yeah, because I don't think this story could recover if Hong Jun is the one who kills Yunho's brother.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I don't think this story recovers. I don't think their friendship recovers, so I feel like it just can't. It can't be him.
So Yuno's brother does get hit by the car that Henry Jo is driving away and does end up dying on the same day at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And he says that he knew because he had read Yuno's diary.
Yes, he had read in Yuno's diary and he knew what was going to happen and made the choice to come out anyway, presumably to help. Like, I don't think he meant to come out just so he could die. I think he came out because he wanted to help in spite of knowing that he was going to die.
Which I think is a way to absolve Yunho of whatever guilt he might feel. Like, these are my choices.
Right.
And you don't have to feel responsible for them.
Right. And he does say, you know, this is not your fault, which is the... echoes what Yuno had said to Left Eye.
Yeah.
When he absolves Left Eye of his guilt, he was still holding on to his own guilt.
For sure.
And he needed his brother to say, no, you've got to go with your friends. This is not your fault. This was my choice. Mm-hmm. I did this on my own. And so Yuno is able to go with his friends to go rescue Yo-song because now his last tie to this earth is gone. And I do think it's interesting that when he does come back, he doesn't stay here. He leaves. Like, it's like he can't be in this place without his brother, without a tie to stay. And so he's the one that becomes the adventurer.
The Indiana Jones character. That they did not give me a single concept photo with him in his Indiana Jones fit. That is unforgivable, KQ. It is unforgivable. I do not forgive you, and I never will.
Where's my Songhwa Fireman calendar?
All right. That's all I had to say.
Where is Wooyoung, flight attendant, doing his little dance? Where is it? I can't believe you would do this to us.
I mean, I'm upset about all of them, but it is Indiana Jones Yuno that
really
I find
is
heartbreaking.
Specifically, Indiana Jones Yuno, off in Egypt, I believe, is where he is, digging up treasures and whatnot. And they were like, nah, you don't need to see this.
No, here...
We kept Cowboy Mingi from you. We will keep this from you, too.
Unbelievable. Anyways.
So they do, they spin the Kromer. They manage to get back to Strickland. They go back. It's really unclear. It does seem like there is a lot of stuff that happens between the time that they go back to Strickland and the time that they are able to rescue Yo-song because...
Yes.
When they do rescue Yo-song, it's not just them. They bring all the Black Pirates with them, and there is this all-out war between the Black Pirates and the Android Guardians for Yo-song.
Yeah.
And you do see that when you watch the Answer Ode to Joy stage, that is what is portrayed. It is the rescuing of Yo-song and the battle with the Android Guardians.
Well, one of the things that I think is unexplored but seems clear is that they freed Left Eye from this kind of hallucinatory prison that he was in. And he is able to rally the Black Pirates without ATs. Like, while ATs is gone in this other world, he has been working with the other Black Pirates. Pirates, because it's like the Black Pirates existed, before ATs got there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've now given them a...
we know that they've been up to things even in the in-between time when the Holotees is captured and before ATs gets there. They're still doing stuff. It's not like they disappeared and it's not like ATs came. I mean, they may have, like, reignited and strengthened their numbers, but they were still active.
ATs is not necessarily the savior of that world. I mean, they definitely, like, put things into play, but, like, there were already people there fighting.
And I think that's why we see them leave before things get resolved. And we know that there's still a story happening when they leave because we know, you know, we'll get to it when we talk about the world, but the Thunder, the girl who is the leader of Thunder, who is the counterpart of the Be Free girl, the one that's, it is Songla's inspiration to take up music and dance. We know that she is going undercover, like fully undercover, and start just beginning this whole operation, working directly with Z, and we never find out what happens with that. So it's like, all right, well, okay.
But that goes back to what I said when I feel like people get really caught up in the, like, fantasy aspects and this AI story. Like, those exist, but that is not what this story is about. It is about these boys coming together and learning to overcome the individual traumas that they had, learning to work together and learning to find each other again. So, like, you can tell that story without the fantasy or the sci-fi elements, and they do. Like, most of what's happening in the sci-fi world is happening off page. That's not actually important to this story that's being told.
It's just like a backdrop for it's the vehicle for ATs to be able to have these moments of...
Just like the fashion industry is a vehicle for the Devil Wears Prada. I can link it back to my...
It all comes together. It's all related. So they do rescue Yosong, I believe. It doesn't... It is Songhwa who does rescue Yosong. And in the Answer Ode to Joy stage, it is Songhwa who they show going into... While Yuno is distracting the guard, Songhwa does get into the glass cage and rescue Yosong. So anyway, so that is the end of that story. But then in the epilogue is where we see that ATs have stepped in and they are now part of the Black Pirates. So they have they have decided to stay in the Z universe and they've decided to help out and do what they need to do here. We know that Left Eye has become a leader of the movement. We know that there is some kind of underground operation. We know that there are Black Pirates beyond ATs that are part of this movement. And they are getting a transmission, a Morse code transmission from ATs, and ATs says, "Say my name, ATs," and that's how we know, okay, now we're connected back up to the treasure. And Treasure famously doesn't have diaries.
We might get some. So they've released their, I say release, they've sold me their lore book.
When are those coming out? Released.
No one knows.
Like, I feel like I've ordered all of these things and it's just this nebulous that's out there somewhere. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
So anyways, we might get some sort of diaries from that.
Like, and wait, not isn't that diaries, the whole point that it is about the lore?
It's supposed to be.
If it's just like all the same stuff, I'm going to be so upset. I mean, like, listen, I read the diaries. You have to give me more than that.
It's what you already did. They removed all of the diary pages and they put them in the same book.
It's just going to be like, here you go. Here's a binder. And I'm like, I've got this already. I did it myself. I mean, it's got to be more details. Hopefully there, I hope that there are answers. When that comes out, we're going to have to do a follow-up episode and just, it's either going to be me rejoicing because they've answered some questions, or it's going to be me complaining because it's just more nebulous things that don't get explained and nothing ties together and it's just whatever.
My theory that I have still stands, that the series represent the stages of life.
My official theory that is wrong, but my official theory is that a treasure is what happens in between this moment of they go and they rescue Yosong and then they presumably dip. They go somewhere and them accepting the challenge to go back to Strickland. I think that treasure represents this. What are we going to do? Who are we? Are we just going to have fun? Are we just going to live in this kind of, you know, imaginary world and ignore what's happening? And then, you know, I think in Wonderland and Answer, that is when they answer the call. They get the call to action and they answer that call. And that's when they go back to Strickland to carry on. And they say, okay, We are going to do what you told us to do. I have a whole post about it. I think it's one of the best posts I've ever written. It is
your called, magnum opus.
It is my magnum opus. One of my magnum opi. I forget what I call.
What if I have so many opi?
I have like maybe three that I think are really good. I would say that one and the one about the sirens and the one about a home for the orphans or the family for the orphans.
I didn't realize that made your opi list.
It does. I think that one was really good. I think being able to will it ATs with that dumb little book was a good time.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode and will be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at holochatpodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.